Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Hi.
Great.
It's been a long time since you've talked.
I don't know, I've just been watching the movie.
Oh, which movie?
The movie with Robin.
Oh, the little animation movie.
Yeah, that was really cool.
We made that in 1995. Boy, that was before they even had any computer animation characters at all. Isn't that cool?
It is. It was awesome.
How we love doing that. I mean, we were really serious. I wanted to help him visualize his dream of being on stage. And, yeah, he came over one night and had a little karaoke machine and sung that song, and we put it all together.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's not bad. What a story, though, you know, the fact that, you know, he had that dream and then, you know, it never came true the way he imagined, and yet something did happen in that we did produce the Life Transformation System Z, and, you know, in that sense, his work, his amazing grace, his voice has gone out all over the world helping so many people and doing so much for people. I'm really glad you're on the call today.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, yeah. Yours too. It's been, seems like a couple of months since we've talked.
Yes, it has been.
And Steve, you're there too?
Yes, how are you guys?
Good, good, good. How are things going for you since you started you joined the advanced module a little bit later than I think other people have.
Yes, I did. And, you know, things just keep showing up. Nothing big yet, but, you know, something is happening.
Well, you got to keep it under control, huh?
Yeah.
I'm just teasing you. Now, that's a thing that that's important, let me see. I'm thinking about control. I'm thinking about the magic of receiving. I'm thinking about, especially for everyone who's involved with this advanced teleseminar, this program of 12 teleseminars called Have You Manifested $1 Million Yet?, that today we are now on show number 11 of 12. I met somebody recently who gave me the term spiritual entertainment. That might help you to feel more comfortable and relaxed about what you're all doing, what you're participating in here, and when you're doing your manifesting and working with Clear Talk. It might loosen things up a little bit, make it a little lighter, a little more fun and playful. If you could think about the illusion world as your movie, can that work for you? Like, could you look at it that way, you know, Steve, or thinking about the world that you're living in, like, as a movie that you're writing the script for when you do your Clear Talk manifesting?
Yes. You know, but it's also a matter of extracting yourself from what you've already into.
Yes. Okay, now we're going. This is a really, really important topic. I'd like to talk about that for a little while, because my sense is that everyone who's in this program, even the people that have been, you know, quietly participating without, you know, writing comments or talking to me, and then, of course, the people that I have heard from and my own manifestations, my sense of this is that the intention that we had at the beginning to greatly amplify the manifestation of each person's goals and dreams that they have written down would be the outcome of, you know, maybe during the 12 teleseminars, certainly before somewhat, and especially afterwards, as people had time to put the knowledge about the collective thought forms that we're teaching here into practice. Because, of course, it's when you put things into practice and often have an experience and then sometimes adjust that experience, you know, that's when the real, that's when
conference recording started.
That's when the real manifesting can happen, because a lot of times the initial results that occur are what I call preliminary results, and what you were calling, you know, maybe smaller things. And I spoke about control, and I think it's very important to understand that we need to know that we are controlling this. It's not like you've just suddenly opened up a floodgate of things happening out of control, which, as you were saying, Steve, if I could put it into my own words, interpreting what you were saying, that the reality that we're all living in right now, currently, is already happening. Whatever we manifested before, it's already happening. And so what do you do about that? Suddenly a whole new life wants to start. And this is something that I have experienced and worked with myself and have heard about from other people that's happening during this program, is that the force and the power of the manifestation is literally invoking or provoking or bringing about a whole new life. And yet, how do you do that? You know, how do you just, what do? Drop your old life and start a new life and die and get reborn? I mean, it's, that's why when you said that, I went, you know, what are we going to do on teleseminar 11? What are we going to do on teleseminar 12? One of the possibilities that I had in mind was that not only do we summarize what we've done so far, but we address some of the, let's call them issues and concerns that come up, some of the phenomena, because we are down the road now and we can have the experience of what's happening to build these last two teleseminars to add maybe what's going to be some of the most important, helpful things. Because this is what I've experienced and learned over, I guess it's been about 20 years of living by manifesting what I want. Other people go to their work, go to their job. This is how I do it. This is how I've said it to myself. You know, that's how I make my living, so to speak. And create my own reality is what other people call it. Now, reason I'm saying that is because there's many, many hundreds and hundreds of phenomena that they don't teach you about in books, or that you don't expect when you're thinking, okay, I imagine that I have, and you start imagining. Or when you do the Clear Talk Manifesting Method, well, it's even worse, because I'm getting you a system and a method and tools that are getting you to write down and your goals and dreams in all the 12 areas of your life. So surprise, that covers all the 12 areas of your life. That means your whole entire life is being imagined as different than it is now. And if everyone knows that, so there's a certain amount of conscious choice involved, and there's a lot of invoking and asking for God, Goddess, all that is, or the divine presence, or the higher good, or things like that, that make it, you know, and rest assured, you and everyone else who's listening to our program today, that it's going to be okay. Everything is going to work out. Everything is going to magically work out. Everything is going to work out better than you imagine, and yet everything is going to work out probably pretty much somewhat like you imagine, and that means having a whole new life. And if we look at that from a certain practical reality point of view, that's a real problem, and you helped bring that problem up this morning, and I almost feel like, you know, making a joke out of it and saying, well, so therefore, let's all stop manifesting. It's too big of a problem, you know, to handle that. Like, what are you going to do? How do you navigate and negotiate the management of transferring yourself from an old life into a new life? What's the point of asking, of going into an advanced teleseminar module like this to boost and empower even further what is already happening so much with just simply doing the Clear Talk Manifesting Method? Why make it go even stronger? Doesn't that just make it worse? Doesn't that just make the pressure of having to, you know, let's just use a practical example. Somebody's got a business. Like, Camille, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi, Camille. Camille, may I speak about the fact that you're a businesswoman?
I'd love it.
Okay, well, Camille is in New York, and she's a businesswoman in the fashion industry. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, let's say that Camille was making a certain amount of money in sales per year annually, and part of what she programmed, and I'm not saying she's done this, I'm just using it as an example to bring this to ground. And let's say that she is making $1 million in sales a year already, and she wanted to make $10 million in sales. And So she writes it in her goals and dreams. She follows the instructions. Then she goes in the advanced module, and suddenly it starts really happening. And she might, and this is hypothetical, but I'm just saying, she might then be wondering, you know, how she might need to open a new warehouse or hire new staff, or her accountant might be asking her, where's all this money coming from, or you're going to have to pay more taxes, or I suggest that you do some traveling for business in order to reduce your taxes, and her whole life could change just from that one area of life, business, career. But what if she was doing something like that and had something like that happen in every one of her 12 areas?
Well, that's a nice problem to have.
Okay, well, you'd think so. That's a nice problem to have. And that's a good way of thinking about it. And I can tell you something else that happens is because that we are asking the divine universe or whatever people call the all that is or God, goddess, all that is or the source energy or love itself or whatever, that is the participant who is listening to our prayers, listening to our imagination, looking over our shoulder when we write our goals and dreams, and being proud of us when we declare in the universe that we show that we're actually conscious enough to know that we do have a life right now, and whatever it is, we're capable of putting it into thought well enough to be focused enough and centered enough and grounded enough that it is possible that a new life can be brought to us and delivered to us according to what we ask for. And their capability and their powers, you know, the powers that be, the powers of the powers that be, are much different than my powers or your powers. We interact and have a relationship with each other, and they have a tendency to, you know, deliver, say, the manifestations all packaged into one. Like, Camille might have something, let's say, I'm just really imagining, this is nothing to do, Camille has never spoken to me about her manifesting or anything like that, so I'm not sharing Camille's story. I just want to make that clear. But, you know, she might, for example, have put in her friends, associates, and relatives area that she's, you know, met some new associates and friends who are, like, really knowledgeable about, you know, managing, I mean, maybe something that has nothing to do with her business, but it turns out that they also know about that, and when she starts expanding her business, they just went through that too, and they have all these references and help for her and take her out for coffee and make her feel like it's just fun. Or, you know, maybe in her educational and spiritual advancement area, she has something that she's imagining about a new leap forward in learning something, and one of the things she learns is she gets some book about, you know, how to make the leap from 1 to 10 million a year, you know, and it all fits together. From when I was in Hawaii at the doing my time for 11 months in the Pentecostal church there, going to church services like I think 11 times a week, mandatory, otherwise I was kicked out in the street, and, you know, being reborn and going and getting baptized and all that stuff. And honestly, I'm not religious, so that was difficult for me to go through all of that, but it was what my life was, you know, healing from my past and bringing forward and into my future. And a lot of things were happening, and it was all happening all at once, all in one place, all in a church, strangely enough, with Hawaiian people who were, you know, hugging me and saying, after knowing me for months, going like, you know, I really used to hate you because you were white when we, you know, when you first came in here, and you'd just be like, oh, I didn't know that was going on. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, I learned to use Bible passages without feeling that I was being religious or Christian or something like that. And so one of the great things that I enjoyed and still enjoy today that helps me tremendously is that something, it was like all things work together for good. And then the part that a lot of people might have trouble with is to them who love God or to those who love God. And so what I'm saying is that the relationship between the divine and your manifesting is like all things work together for good. But it sounds kind of hollow or kind of like, yeah, right, you know, how am I going to make it all work out? But when you just continue to look at your goals and dreams or what you have written in your own universe and ground and center yourself, of course, please, by going in the universe first, and then realize and accept that you're not necessarily the one who's going to bring this all about, that the imagining is really all the work that you need to do. Everything else that would be considered work is something you're going to do in response to what happens to you. And that response is not, what's happening to you is not really of something that is of your own control. It's something that you ask for, and then something that is a greater force and a greater power than you or me is bringing it into your life. Now, that greater force and that greater power might be, you know, the company that hires the person for the new job. I'm not necessarily, you know, just putting it up in the realm of it's God or goddess or all that is or something. I'm just saying that these collective thoughts, for example, are bigger forces than you, bigger than me. And I think it's more comfortable and correct for us to stick within the realm of the collective thoughts. That's our theme for the whole program, but I hope I've made my point to reassure you and other people that it's good to be out of control because you never were in control in the first place. Once you start initiating these magical processes, you start, you know, asking the divine or whatever you believe in, you start asking the universe or whatever it is to come through for you in a much bigger way. And in order for that to happen, we have to give up a lot of control. We have to break down the system that we previously were running on inside of our bodies, inside of our nervous system, and open up to being a new person in a new life. And, you know, that's very literal in every case. Every person that is successful at manifesting has to have a new life, even if it's just the difference between making an extra couple of $1,000s a month in your salary or something much bigger than that. The person who makes $10,000 a month, who was previously only making $5,000 a month, or the person who has a job and then manifests having their own business and quitting their job, or whatever the case might be, the person who's single, who manifests a relationship, the person who's, you know, looking for some kind of spiritual enlightenment and then gets it, the difference between the person that you are or that I was or that whoever was before they got their manifestation to come true and the person who had it come true is two different people in a certain sense. And if people, if we think about it that way, it can be very helpful. And the thing that can help with that more than anything is to realize that the life that we're having right now is what everyone in the manifesting world would call an illusion. And that we who are experiencing ourselves, you know, I'm this person, I'm this role, we identify with the roles that we're playing. For example, we learned that in the e-book, the Life Transformation e-book, for everyone who's read that. It's in one of the first chapters of the ebook, that you list the roles that you put. Oh, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a walker, I'm a cook. You know, when you're cooking in the kitchen, you're a cook. I'm a bather when you're having a bath. We're playing roles all the time, and there's nothing wrong with playing roles, but what happens is we start to identify with those roles. And then when we identify with those roles and it comes time to change those roles, suddenly it's like, hey, wait, I'm this. And it gets like a little, we want to control it or we get stuck or something like that. So being flexible and being playful is part of receiving the new manifestations. That's all I'm saying. And my little wink of the eye about there is a divine force, whatever you want to, however you want to relate to it, somebody is making it happen, not just you. Even if you, a person, and I don't mean you, Steve, I mean just you, the person who's listening to this recording or this on the phone call right now, somebody, something out there, even if it's your new boss or your new girlfriend or boyfriend or the car salesman who sells you your new car or the car company that, you know, built the new car that you buy or the bank that gives you the loan to start the new business that you were imagining or whatever it is that you end up manifesting, it's someone else and something else, and this is that's involved in interacting and participating. And that's very, very straightforward. That's very practical. You know, I'm sorry for taking all the dream and magic out of it, but that's the whole point of the manifestations that people do when they work with me, is it's not about helping you make bigger and better dreams. It's about you helping you, whatever dreams you already have, getting them to come true, and then enjoying that so much that it inspires you to make new dreams and having the confidence to make them come true. And the purpose of looking at collective thought forms is in order that I could help you to see that there are forces on the outside, which there we are back on that again, that it's something more than me, it's something more than you, that can help us and lend their resources, so to speak. And yet that often is something that we're coached and guided and educated in, you know, manifesting, metaphysical, whatever, that, you know, I create my own reality. And I have constantly and always said I disagree with that, and I still don't come out and say that's my stand, except privately with people that I get more involved with. But I do mention it from time to time, like right now, because I think for those that want to listen to that, it can really be one of the greatest boosts to your manifesting of all. And in the context of the collective thought forms, at least a person can be comfortable realizing that on a practical level, you certainly don't go and make it all come true yourself. You manifest a new home. Even if you build your own home, you probably didn't build every brick and put it in place. You hired somebody, or the bank helped you get the money, or whatever the case might be. These manifestations that are occurring are happening because of the participation and interaction of, you know, people and forces and guides, and I like to think the all that is. So let's bring this back around to collective thought forms more, even more precisely, because I wanted to talk today about what we sort of broke open last week by talking about Voonman Ron and his amazing imagination, about the illusion world, and about the fact that he actually considered, and I hope now you can see for yourself, it, just logically, that almost everything is a collective thought form. And unfortunately, what that means, and fortunately, if you get it, what that is an invitation for you to realize how much room there is for you to use your own imagination and how little we do that. Because it's so easy to just think about things the way everybody else thinks about things. And a lot of people might even think that, oh, I'm a nonconformist, or I'm a rebel, or I think for myself, what are you talking about? But if you examine what are your goals and dreams, even a lot of them are just the stuff that everybody else has goals and dreams about. And you can think, well, you know, but I still want it. But the more you think about collective thought forms and work with collective thought forms, just from the point of view that Devika was guiding us about negative thoughts, you step back and be a little bit objective about them. Put some distance between you and the negative thought form that you're examining. Well, if it's a collective thought form, it doesn't necessarily have to be negative, but you still want to step back from it and look at something like, let's say, you know, this idea of, let's not talk about God or something like that, but let's talk about the power of prayer. That's a collective thought form, prayer. And I could tell somebody, manifesting, you know, manifesting what you want, creating your own reality. If that person's used to listening to that collective thought form, then, oh yeah, yeah, I know about that. Oh, did you read Abraham Hicks? Have you seen The Secret? Things like that. You know what I'm talking about, right, Victoria?
Yep.
Like, you know, people start talking about it. But then if you suddenly say the power of prayer, oh, wait a minute. You know, a lot of people who went into metaphysics did it to escape religion. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I think that's what happened. And so those people may be still wounded. And you start to bring up prayer. You go, well, I remember when I went to the church in Hawaii, I was helping when I met the pastor there, the Hawaiian guy. He is actually, I think, someone told me later, he's really like a secret kahuna who is masquerading as a pastor in the church system, because, you know, to be able to help his people. And I helped him change his name back to his, he was in the royal lineage of the king of Hawaii in the past, Kaahumanu. And I remember legally helping him to get his name back and, you know, file the papers and everything like that. It was a beautiful time. And when for them though, I was the white people. And he had this vision that, you know, white people would come and teach his people their ways, and God would send someone. And I had all these computers, and so, you know, I came and taught them computers, and that was his dream fulfilling. But when we first met, the very first day, that I just came to repair one of his computers. That's how we met and why we met, supposedly. You know, I suppose there was divine orchestration all over the place on that one. But obviously there must have been, now that I think about it. But I was just thinking about going and fixing this guy's computer, and we didn't have much money, and we were going to be homeless pretty soon. And, you know, he was saying, well, you can move into the church, after I told him my story about what I was doing in my life. And I completely forgot why I was telling that, though. So the power of prayer, that's right. So I just wanted to say that if we look at the power of prayer in terms of manifesting, it would be the same as like me being in that church and thinking like, well, I'm not religious. You know, in fact, my father's a Lutheran minister. I did everything I could to get away from all of this stuff. And now here I am, and I'm sitting across from this pastor, and I'm telling him, well, I'm raising $1.3 million to start my dream of having a digital motion picture company. And here I am in Hawaii, and, you know, here we are, you know, almost broke, you know, pursuing our dream and whatever, and having lunch with you. And he's going, God can help you make that dream come true. So what am I going to do? Sit there and look in his face and go, you know, I don't believe in God, or not your God anyways, or, you know, I call it creating my own reality, you know. It's like, I'm not going to argue over collective thought forms at a time like that. I'm just going to go like, you know, that's what you call it. What do they say? You call it tomato, I call it tomato. It's like, I'm just going to go, okay, it's a collective thought form. God is a collective thought form. I know what you mean, sir. And, yeah, I chose at that moment to just, you know, partner with that man and with his people and just say, if you think, because his passion and his, he meant it. He was like, you know, God can help you raise that money. And I felt like he was willing to put his life behind what he was saying, and I was willing to put my life behind helping him have his dream come true of, you know, God was going to send a white person to, or white people to help him, because I was married at the time and we were there together. And so we made a partnership, and we both, you know, worked on that together. And I can say that it was an amazing thing, but I had to let go of. I had to go to church, you know, like I said, I think it's like every single morning, and live in a homeless shelter, and feed homeless people, and do all kinds of stuff that I would have thought would be the last thing I would ever want to do. And it was hot there, but they were really nice. They put air conditioners. They let us, you know, put air conditioners in the church, and right beside where I was working. And I had all these tables with all these computers. So I actually had a luxury, beautiful office in Hawaii if I would just shut up and stop complaining about, you know, oh, well, this is a church. Like, the universe was bringing it to me. And if I was arguing about the collective thought form, like, well, it's not coming in the right, I don't, like, my interpretation, I just went, you know, look, this is a building. It's an office. Okay? To them, it's a church. To me, it's my studio. And we coexisted like that. And something, you know, magical happened there. Because I was able to let go a little bit. And when I would be in church, and this is the reason that I'm telling you this, is because when I'd be in the church services, you know, you have to, Pentecostal church is very intense. You go up, you know, you stand up, you have to put your hands above your head and swing your body back and forth, and, you know, there's very passionate preaching, and you have to go up to the front of the church and line up and get healings, and people like get touched on the forehead and fall over backwards, and they touch me on the forehead. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know, fake it? I would just politely step back a couple of steps, like, oh, you know, but it was very awkward for me in a lot of ways, and I'm singing the hymns, and I'm thinking like, God, this is making me, you know, this is, part of me could have resisted and just said, I can't do this. You know, this is what I escaped from. What am I doing? But I was going, you know, if I was renting an office and I had to pay the rent, I wouldn't complain about that at all. So this is the easiest rent I ever paid. Go to church 11 times a week. And if anybody but a minister's kid knows how to go to church, well, what's the problem? You know, stop complaining. Put your hands above your head and, you know, praise the Lord. And of course, I knew that while I was doing that, I was also reconnecting to my spirituality through my roots and how I was raised and healing all of that. And it was a beautiful thing. But I had to loosen up about my thinking, about rigid thinking about collective thought forms. Like, you know, I'm about God or about Jesus or listening to people who are that, you know, not, I wouldn't say fanatical, but extremely focused and passionate about there's only one way, you know, to have anything in life, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I'm like going, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but so I didn't mind getting reborn and baptized. And when, you know, it's like, have you found Jesus? And I was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't lying. I wasn't saying, but I wasn't buying the package that Jesus Christ was coming in. I was just, you know, filtering the collective thought forms. I was holding my ground as a spiritual being who has some kind of relationship to different entities like Buddha and Jesus Christ and Babaji and Yogananda, and there's so many that someone was once giving me some kind of a psychic reading and said, you have like a whole council of divine love around you. And I felt great about that and launched my website, togetherwithdivinelove.com. Because I felt it's true. So it's not like I don't believe in Jesus Christ, but I certainly don't believe in, you know, that particular church, and I find those kind of things. But again, it was those people and that experience at that time was a divinely guided thing, and it was working out, and I just kept making my choices, you know, one day at a time, and it was a beautiful, amazing experience. And this is what I'm saying. When you're navigating the illusion world, which again is a collective thought form, and you might go like, well, I don't know if I believe in that. I don't know if this is an illusion world or not, you know, or this is the real world. Like, people are always going, well, I wouldn't say it that way. And when you find yourself doing that, when you're working with collective thought forms, it's probably a good idea to step back and just remember this 12 teleseminar series, that the only thing I'm trying to help you do is to get a little distance between you and these collective thought forms. Because as soon as you do that, you are empowering yourself so much that it's incredible, that you can have miracles happen every single day of your life, or at least, you know, once in a while, enough to make it worth what it costs you to take this teleseminar, much more than that. I'm joking. What I'm saying is that objectivity and that distancing between you and the collective thought forms does a number of things. The first thing that it does is it gets you to be able to relax and evaluate that it is a collective thought form. And that takes away the hypnotic, enchanting, trance-like effect that, for example, seeing every neighbor on your street has a car and pays the mortgage, and you think that that's just something that's normal and that you should do. And what if you, in your imagination, imagine that your car is fully paid, or that you don't have a car and somehow you still manage to get around, or that you fly everywhere, you know, in your body, and you're just thinking, well, that's insane, you know, because the collective thought forms are telling you this is the way that everybody does it. Everybody has a mortgage. Everybody complains about how much their mortgage costs. Everybody talks about the current mortgage crisis. Some people are foreclosing their houses. Everybody gets scared about things like that because that's what everybody's doing right now. And there's always a collective thought form that's conveying that message. You know, the recession in the U.S., like, that's a collective thought form that we, you know, briefly spoke about before. The collective thought forms are some of the ones that have been around for a long time that we can use to empower things. They're positive thought forms, like a best-selling author, a hit record. You know, things like that are positive things that we can bring up. But even the positive ones, if you think about being a famous personality. I remember watching with Robin, El Presley, and the biography TV show is one of his favorite shows. He used to just watch them. I think he watched every one they ever made. So often I'd be over at his house watching biography. And if you talk to people who knew him and you just said, remember watching biography with Robin? They probably would say yes, because that's how many times he would watch that show. And every single show was about a famous person, and every single famous person had all these horrible things happen in their life. You know, and it was almost like the collective thought form is, well, if you're famous, then, you know, you die early from drug overdose or whatever the case might be, you know, or something terrible happens. So to be objective about that thought form, like being a famous person or becoming rich and famous, then being objective is like you suddenly go, well, what would it be like if I'm rich and famous? And in order to start thinking about that and imagining that and making that be a reality, if you just don't handle the collective thought form of rich and famous first, or if you put I'm rich and famous in your own universe, it's very good to have taken this teleseminar, not only so that you know to do that, but so that you understand that doing that, you're bringing in a potential danger of all of those collective thought forms that are on that biography show about rich and famous. They all come in with it. Everything that you ever heard or read or thought or everyone else ever thought that you maybe even didn't hear about, but it's connected and attached to the thought form of being rich and famous, is going to ride into your little workbook on your computer or into your goals and dreams or whatever. It's going to be attached. When you say, I want to be rich and famous, I imagine having $1 million. Everything you ever heard about whatever happened to people who had $1 million, it's going to come with the thought form. And so the objectivity is really important, just like when I was in that church and I said, yes, you know, okay, God can help me raise $1.3 million. Let's do it. What do I have to do? He's like, okay, well, move into the church. You know, and I knew we were making a deal, not just with God, but with him. And, you know, the deal was on after that. And I had to relate to that, not just fight against, you know, well you said that would happen and it didn't happen. I had to just realize that he was speaking from his point of view about collective thought forms and what God can do and my dream, and we were just both working with our dreams. We weren't, you know, promising each other anything. We were just doing our best to passionately help each other work with our dreams, and then we put our life behind it, both of us did. And our families on both sides. Well, you know, the woman that I was married with and his whole family and of everybody in the community that he was working with and his family. And it's like when you're dreaming and relating to a collective thought form, I'm just saying realize that you are working with something that has potency. It has things connected to it. And that there are so many things that are generated from thought in the world. All that we are arises from our thoughts. We think of it from our own personal point of view, like, oh, okay, I create my own reality, everything out there is all because of me, you know, I'm the one who's in charge of it all, and we're taught that in these modern, new age stuff, you know, like, you're responsible for everything you create. Oh, such and such is happening in your relationship, well, you're the one who caused that to happen. It's true at a certain level, and you can work with it that way, but it's also true on another level that there are collective thought forms. And they're everywhere. And there's all kinds of them. And they make a web of a fabric, a tapestry that weaves the world. And those are the thought forms that are associated and attached to or existing in other levels of consciousness that are manifesting the world the way it is right now, which is changing all the time. So the collective thought forms are shifting and changing as well. But everything does arise from thought, as Buddha said, and so you now know from taking this program more than ever, I hope, that not only in your own reality is your life that you have right now being generated by the thoughts and feelings, beliefs and attitudes and choices and decisions that you previously made up until now, or that you're holding inside of your system of your body and nervous and chemical and everything right now, that you were programmed with or that you chose it that way or however you got to be the way you are right now, however I got to be the way that I am right now, that's what's generating our reality from those inner levels. And if that's a problem for people listening to this teleseminar, that happens, then press pause right now and go work on that, because that's essential to enjoying the huge benefits of working with collective thought forms, is accepting at some level, in some way, that the inner generates the outer. And they don't always correspond exactly. There can be disharmony between the inner and outer. There can be a time lag between the inner and the outer. But just, you know, to make it simple, the whatever is going on the inside is going to be reflected on the outside with all this, like I said, time lags and different things, that phenomena that can occur about that. It's reliable. You can count on it. But I'm saying you can count on it not in the sense of to help you manifest better, but to help you understand how you manifested the life you have right now is because of these inner planes. And so you can feel like you have a sense, some sense of control. And then Steve, we're right back there, you know, saying thank you for you bringing that word up. Because we are all, we're controlling our own reality good enough to have it be the way that it is. Maybe some of us would like to have better control. And every one of us has been told that control is a bad thing and we shouldn't control anything. And I wouldn't be surprised if we found out the truth that the people who are telling us not to control anything are the people who are controlling us. Or at least trying to.
George, regarding thought forms.
Yes.
Now, we, in selecting thought forms, we mostly deal with those that project a very positive image.
Well, in show number 9, we actually worked with negative thought forms as well. But I understand what you're saying.
Now, what I'm wondering is, a thought form, can we just choose a thought form on the strength of its existence? You know, like, let's say, for instance, a chair. The whole world knows that a chair is a chair, so that's really an established thought form.
Yes.
You understand, without any negative or positive connotations, but it's strong in that it's universal.
Yes, a chair is a chair.
Or anything that, or a table, or a glass, or, you know.
Yes. Now you're getting it, actually. That's what I'm talking about. That's how simple collective thought forms are. It's like a table is a table, a chair is a chair, a house is a house. And even though people would instantly start an argument with you and go, oh, no, but from each person's point of view, you know, like, it, you know, when they, everyone imagines a chair, everyone imagines it differently. No, what you're saying, I agree with you 100%. Please continue. This is very helpful.
So in terms of, like, when we do our 12 areas, anything that we can choose, anything that we choose, like a chair, could be a thought form, collective thought form, or maybe just the concept of a book. You know, anything that's so established, it's universal. Instead of searching for maybe positive expressions or having to deal with negative expressions, something neutral but well established. I was thinking because it's well established, the intensity or it would carry a lot of strength. It just occurred to me that might be a good choice also.
Well, thank you for saying that, Steve. And I want to point out for everyone who's listening that there's a phenomena that occurs that I firmly believe in and that we're experiencing, in my opinion, right now in group energy, more and more now in the world than ever before. Call it telepathy, call it whatever you want. But when a group is working together around a common purpose, whether it's, you know, the powers that be that are beyond the group, or it's just simply the, you know, when two or more, or whatever you want to call it, that there's like a larger entity, the group entity itself has perhaps a consciousness of its own, and that consciousness at different times can speak through someone. My sense of listening to the group consciousness is that Steve just spoke from the group consciousness, because the resonation of what he's saying is so much simpler and more profound than what I've been trying to convey for the whole time I've been talking right now. And he just said it in whatever, less than a minute. So I'm saying that because, you know, as a spokesperson for the group consciousness myself here, I'm pointing to what Steve just said, and you can, you know, review the recording or go back over what he just said in the last minute or so. That's it. That's everything that I'm trying to get across to you in this teleseminar today, that it's that simple to deal with collective thought forms. And as far as the contribution that I've been making for the 11 weeks so far to the simplicity of collective thought forms is to say that the effect that they have on you and everyone else is so complex that it generates our entire reality. And this is why it's so powerful to take something as simple as, like Steve's saying, like a chair or a house or anything whatsoever, because everything out there is coming from a collective thought form. But you or I have the power, once we get that, that then we can think for ourselves. Then you can really think for yourself. You can say what you want. You can write what you want. You can imagine what you want. You can put it in your own terms, even in your own language. You can use the language and the words and the pictures and the images and things to make up things that don't even exist out there, and watch how those start to come into reality for you. There's nothing that says that you can't manifest something that nobody else ever manifested before, whether that's a situation or something, you know, a new device that does something or anything whatsoever. You might imagine something that's a new device, and then you'll find that somebody announces it on TV that they just made it. It doesn't mean you have to make it. It means that you are allowed to imagine it, and you will then, like with everything else, when you're doing your manifesting correctly, it actually shows up in reality, and you get to enjoy the experience of having it show up in reality. It doesn't mean you have to go and build the house yourself. You can go buy the chair if you're imagining a chair. And once you start off realizing that a chair is a collective thought form, you can think about it in your own way. And that's where your manifesting starts to become more personalized, and you become more free of the hypnotic trance of the reality that is so forceful that when it says chair, sure, you think about whatever chair you think about, but still, you're thinking about, you're feeling all the collective thought form around that. See, as soon as I start talking about it, it becomes very complicated. When Steve was talking about it, there was a feeling, if you go back and play the recording and listen to him talking, like listen to me, then you hear Steve start talking, then you listen to me again, it's like all confusing, then it's all like sounds just so like, yeah, so simple, and then it sounds confusing again. And that's exactly what the process of working with the collective thought forms is like. They'll kind of spin you in your mind. You'll just, when you really try to start looking at something like sending the kids to college, you can say it like that. You can just go, sending the kids to college, and everybody agrees, like Steve said. Everybody knows what that is. Right, Steve? That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
And so,
I think,
go ahead. Let me just finish for a second. As soon as someone says, sending the kids to college. But as soon as we start to talk about that, then it becomes confusing or complicated or overwhelming, or you go into a trance or a hypnosis because you start thinking about your kids, or you start thinking about your own parents who did or didn't send you to college, or your own experience of going to college. Or it suddenly starts to become not really personalized, but it becomes your reaction to the collective thought form instead of your stepping back and going to college is a collective thought form. And I may or may not have already been affected by that. I probably have been in one way or another. And instead of reacting to it and going, well, how you think and how you feel about that thought form as a reaction, just step back from it and look at it as a collective thought form, real simple and easy, like Steve is saying, it's just going to college. Then you can start to break it down and look at how it's more personalized for you and look at all that objectively. And that's all in the universe. And then go into your own universe and write whatever you want about going to college. And even if all you ever did was in the universe, you got really clear about what going to college is all about as a collective thought form and your personal reaction to it or whatever in the universe, and then you put in my own universe, all my kids go to college, trust me, that's going to manifest a lot better than if you didn't go through that process of understanding and being aware that it's a collective thought form. It may be your goal and dream that your children go to college, or that you go to college, or something like that, or you have a good college education, or your kids go to a good college, or you have the money to send your kids to college, or something like that. But when you loosen it up, when you get understanding that that's a collective thought form, then the great power of going to college as a thought form, not an experience, but just a thought form, can lend itself to your pursuit of sending your own kids to college, if that happens to be one of your dreams. Did I talk too long, Steve? Did you still have what you had to say?
Well, actually, I was thinking that, you know, when I think about the thought forms, you know, and instead of getting caught in positive or negative, it's just the strength of the thought form. You know, you feel the strength. You know, a chair or a book, these are things that are well established.
You can feel that? Good.
Well, you know it's there, that's for sure.
Well, you see, it sounds to me like, how many of these tall seminars have you listened to anyways?
I've listened to all of them. I wasn't on the eighth call, but I did pick up the ones on the computer and listened to all of them.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like you, and thank you, because for everyone, and it means a lot to me, because you so get it. And I know that's going to help you control your own reality.
thank you.
That's funny. Let's call it that. Not creating your own reality, controlling your own reality. And that's really what it's about.
Well, actually, you know, I was not really anxious about it. See, the fact that it works, and that I know that it works, I'm ecstatic, because I know that I got something for the rest of my life to play with. So it's just a matter of adjusting for me, you know, because it's coming. So it's just a matter of adjusting to, and then listening to you, which is helping. You know, it's just a matter of adjusting to the new thing, because I think we're all here because we want a new life. And
yes,
it's an adventure.
Yes, and really, of course, you know, the body itself is very capable of adapting to change, and the subconscious mind is in place and functioning for everybody. Even I think if somebody is having a lot of difficulty in life, their subconscious mind is still, you know, keeping them going. And I think maybe a lot of people who are listening to this, even if you do have difficulties or challenges in your life, you can trust your subconscious mind is keeping you surviving. And usually most of us are doing better than surviving, but even if you just look at it like that, and the subconscious mind is very much in charge of, like I said, surviving, and so adapting to change, that's why often the resistance to change and so on. It's not because, you know, your subconscious mind doesn't want you to have that $1 million, or that $10 million, or that new relationship, or more love in your life, or whatever it is. It's just that something isn't safe, or something needs to happen first, or your subconscious mind needs to see you do something differently, or something like that has to happen. It's not saying no, it's saying no until you do this, or no because of this, which then you can change.
Yeah. Proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution, but also proceed with reckless abandon, because your subconscious mind is biologically programmed that no matter what you do, it is going to, you know, protect you. Now,
yeah.
Of course, take that with a grain of caution also. But I'm just saying, there is something to be said for all the safety and caution and everything that I've proposed and spoken about in this whole program and in the pre-launch. I think it's now safe enough to say that one of my personal policies in navigating and living in the world is, if you can get away with it, go for it. And I don't mean do something illegal, but I mean in the sense of, you know, if you can imagine it, imagine it. If you can make it happen, make it happen. You know, there's something to say for your freedom from the collective thought forms, your freedom from having to do things the way everybody else does things. Now, you know, I have a lot of Aquarius influence in me, so being innovative and different is part of my personality that I know about from astrology and the destiny cards. Now, someone else, you know, their inspiration might not be, you know, to be innovative and different, but probably most of the people who are involved with creating your own reality and stuff like that are on some kind of a cutting edge of being alive in the world on the planet at this time, and are interested in having more freedom to create their own reality. I'm just warning you. I don't think you create your own reality. I think that's a collective thought form. And I have my own relationship to that, and I have a very complex and complicated relationship to that. I mean, I have had a lot of teaching and a lot of education and a lot of people channeling to me about, you know, we shouldn't create our own reality, and what are all the things that go wrong when you create your own reality. And one of the two of the movies that I recommend, the Hollywood motion pictures that I recommend as course materials for anyone who's working with Life Transformation System Z, are excellent examples of what I'm talking about, you know, what can happen when you think you create your own reality, and how much better it is when, even if you use that as a collective thought form, you have a little objectivity from it, and you realize that the whole point of it is that whatever you're writing as your goals and dreams, calling it manifesting or creating my own reality is not as important as getting your goals and dreams to come true in reality. And whatever you call it, how important is that, really? It's important, but it's, don't make that become your new religion, right? It's just a science and an art that's a condensation of information and material put together in a system to help you apply getting thought forms to manifest and handling the problems and situations that you have in your life right now at the thought level, instead of having to go out there and take care of everything in a way that becomes overwhelming and too much and too hard to deal with. Life Transformation System Z is a solution to the overwhelming problems of information overload and too many demands and too much things going on in this fast-paced, you know, ever-changing, more and more populated, you know, world with more and more thought forms and things and all kinds of stuff going on. It's just saying, well, you can step back and be objective about the whole thing by just simply going into the thought level. And we have the support of all the ancient masters who have proposed that doing that is the hardest thing to do, but the most successful thing, and most importantly for the whole 12-week teleseminar, it is that doing that, going into your thoughts, handling your life from thoughts, is a collective thought form that goes back a long way. And so it has a rich tradition, it's been tried and tested, and whether or not the people in your neighborhood think you're whacked out because you're creating your own reality, or if you feel, or I feel nervous or afraid because, you know, I don't know if I can really live like that, but I am, and I'm trying to, or I'm experimenting with it, or something like that. I'm telling you, it's been around for a long time, and the people who actually knew about it and used it are very, very successful. Kings and queens and, you know, presidents and leaders and of different, you know, military leaders, and those are the ones who were privileged to have spiritual teachers teaching them about how to be successful by working with their thoughts and focusing and concentrating their mind and things like that. So it's maybe more nerve-wracking or frightening because a lot of us are just commoners, so to speak. And we're not we're not supposed to have this information. Well, now we are. But I'm sorry, I heard two people talking at once.
George.
George,
what movies did you recommend we watch?
Oh, okay. It's on my coaching page, which is buried in the labyrinth of my site, so I better tell you the names of the movies right now. Bedazzled, with Elizabeth Hurley and Brendan Fraser, in which she plays the devil and he signs a contract to get Allison, the love of his life, to marry him, and then she, you know, puts him into these different scenarios where she is continually messing up, you know, his dream. Like, she's supposedly helping him, you know, oh yeah, that's a great idea, and then we'll do it like this, and, you know, she's like helping him write his script, and then when they have it all ready, then she kind of launches him into this reality, and he wakes up in that reality, and he discovers, you know, that she put some glitch in it that makes it go wrong every time, even though she completely fulfilled everything he asked for. So it's very funny, but it's also, of any movie I've ever seen next to Groundhog Day, which is the other one, it's a much older movie with Bill Murray in it, where he keeps waking up at the same time every day, and it's the same day in this little small town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where the groundhog pops. I've actually been there. It is that kind of a town. That didn't happen to me, but I can understand why he wanted to get out of there.
I saw a good movie the other day called Click.
What's that?
I saw a good movie the other day called Click, and I can't remember the actor, someone Gilmore. I don't really like his acting, but he had a remote, a magical remote. So he fast-forwarded his life, and then right at the end, it wasn't the life he wanted, and he woke up and he'd gone right back, and he threw the remote in the bin. So.
Oh, right. I remember that movie. Yeah, he's a famous comedian with dark hair. Adam Sandler, maybe, or...
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Adam Sandler. Click, is that what it was called?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's another great one. But there was something about Bedazzled and Groundhog Day that were very, very focused on this exact thing about, you know, how if you really think about creating your own reality and then you actually do like I have and you live like that, you realize that you can just mess it up time after time after time after time, and even though you're actually doing, you're doing it. And so it's better when you do what I also do, which makes it so I don't mess up my life time after time and I have a wonderful, miraculous, enjoyable life, is that I ask for the presence, the divine presence, and I have an understanding and an acceptance that I am doing what everybody says you're doing when you're creating your own reality. I just don't look at it that way. I have a different point of view about that collective thought form. I'm just, you know, writing my goals and dreams down and doing some kind of science and art that's based in ancient yoga and other disciplines to focus and concentrate my mind and work with my thoughts. And that's just part of, that's just something that I'm doing to be successful in life, because it's been proven and tested, you know, time and time again in all different walks of life, that focusing and concentrating your mind and working with your thoughts is a thing that successful people do. And so I developed a system to be able to do that reliably and repeatedly and mix in with the law of attraction and the power of prayer and all these kind of things, so that it would be more fun, more easy, more reliable than so many of the books and things that seem to be like you just have to read and read and read and get a little bit from here and a little bit from there. But pulling it all together is what I was interested in doing for myself. And in my pursuit of doing that, I ended up pulling together Life Transformation Systems and publishing it for other people, which became helpful to me in my own personal process, because then I was able to receive the feedback and interaction of other people using the system that I made for myself. So that, as you could imagine, you know, having like a, you know, we make a scientific experiment and then you have other scientists test it in their lab or something like that, it's helpful. And then what the result of that has been is that we've ended up with what most people who write me say, after all their research with all these other books and things and courses, is the most reliable system for focusing and concentrating your mind to, you know, like I said. So, but as far as creating your own reality, that term just doesn't fly very far as I'm concerned. Even Lazarus, who I highly respect and love listening to, you know, LAZARIS.com, he talks about creating your own reality all the time. And I just, you know, go, oh, well, whatever you say. But I don't think of it that way, because it doesn't work for me to think about creating my own reality. And maybe one day I'll come around to it and my manifesting will be better because I finally realize that I create my own reality. But I don't really, it's not like I don't think that I don't create my own reality. I just have an awareness about that concept, and that ties in with the collective thought forms in the biggest way, because my freedom to relate to the very thing that supposedly is the subject of what my life's work is all about, and I don't even call it what it's called. That's what makes me different from everybody else, and I just think that's what makes Life Transformation Systems E different from everything else, and that's why it works better, because the person who put it together doesn't think about it the same way as everybody else does. And that's what I'm trying to convey and get across and suggest and persuade you all into thinking about every collective thought form that, you know, you can want to play with in your goals and dreams, which is such a great place to do it because you're writing things down anyways, and just sprinkle those in there and put them in there. And hopefully our teleseminar today has been very helpful in you getting more objectivity and getting you more excited about, you know, finding more collective thought forms and putting them safely, because when you have this objectivity, you know, you can be safer about not having the power of the collective thought form put you under, so to speak, and hypnotize you into, for example, being a businessman or being a businesswoman or owning your own business. You know, you want to own your own business. We have to go. I see that we've already ran over the time a few minutes, but I'll just finish with this, that, you know, you might say, well, I want to own my own business. And then the next thing you're doing is going and getting hypnotically entranced by every person that you try and go to for advice about what you need to do to run your own business. Instead of just realizing that the idea of running your own business actually means something to me personally or you personally or the person who's thinking about doing that, and it's a collective thought form and you should step back from it, and then you can put that in your own universe. I own my own business. But then have some objectivity and start being creative about what that means to you. Because you can put in this whole thing about, you know, I sell these things or I make these things and then I sell them or I offer this service, and it's good to describe it in your own way, but then if you throw in there, I own my own successful business, that's going to help a lot. You know, bring the collective thought form in, but if, I guess I could say that probably the one phrase or sentence or, you know, thought form that would be maybe the most valuable of the whole thing is that just, you know, being cautious about the collective thought forms is the most important thing. That they'll get you every time. They're very powerful. They'll hypnotize you. You can get lost for many years running your own business because everyone tells you you're just being vibed or enchanted by what everybody else says that is. It's better to make your own dream personalized, and then from what you've learned in this program, and we'll still do some more next week in the final one in number 12, you know, put the thought form back in there after you've built your own dream. You know, write out who your perfect dream lover and everything is, and, you know, the true love and whatever, and then put those collective thought forms in, like true love and everlasting love and happily ever after. After you've crafted your own imagination about what you imagine is best, and knowing that, like in the movie Bedazzled, we're all probably going to screw it up every time. And so we need to count on and rely on the force of the divine, and I'm going to say thank you to all of you for listening, and to whatever you believe in, the all that is, to the archangels, to the powers of love and goodness that are out there, and to everyone who's participating with your goodness to make it possible that we could build this group energy and get this far and be all the way now at teleseminar number 11, have everything recorded. And this is George L. Presley from MillionDollarMindPower.com with peace and love. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
All the best.
Bye.